Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 10th of May, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I am thrilled to bits to tell you, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Surprise. I'm back.
I'm so pleased you're back. You have. You've been out for quite a while.
It's nice to be here. For those one or two people out there who may have wondered what happened, I had a fall and I shattered my shoulder and I had shoulder reconstruction. And in the process, I have some nerve damage in my hand. So it has played havoc with me as a right-hander manipulating a mouse. So I've been recuperating and working on strengthening my arm. And only recently have I been able to sit at a Mac and manipulate a mouse.
Yeah.
So here I am.
And actually, that's what I'd like to talk about is some of the experience that you've had with using your iPhone and your iPad while you've been incapacitated in particular ways.
Yeah, there's several stages involved in this. The first stage is right after surgery, you're in a sling and you're immobilized. And then the second phase is patient therapy at a center, and you're still in a sling, and you can't really do anything. And I was not talking on an iPhone. I couldn't manipulate a watch. I couldn't do anything. So when I finally got home for home care, I started messing with my iPad, and I discovered that it was really hard to manipulate an iPad. I have an iPad Mini 5 that's light enough to hold barely, but the button is rather stiff. Mm-hmm. And to hold an iPad in a left hand and manipulate it with a weakened right hand with nerve damage is incredibly difficult. You end up touching things you shouldn't touch. You end up trying to scroll and you can't. And you start thinking about how other ways to manipulate your device. So the easiest thing for me to do was to use my 10S Max. Mm-hmm. Because it does face eye recognition, mm-hmm. doesn't have a home button, and it's more touch-oriented rather than pressure-oriented. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be a boon. So I was spending a lot of time on my iPhone and discovering the weaknesses of iOS in terms of touch sensitivity. If you brush it in just the wrong way, you go somewhere you don't want to go. The iPad and the iPhone require very accurate control, and for a normal person it's second notion, mm-hmm. it's second nature, but for a person who's got nerve damage in the fingers and you're having trouble controlling it, it turns out there's specific touch problems related to that. So that casts you into thoughts about, you know, Hey Siri and voice control and ways to avoid touching the screen altogether. Mm-hmm. And so another thing that has come into play is Hey Siri on my watch. I use my watch to call my wife on her phone, mm-hmm. when I need assistance. And the watch has turned out to be great in terms of being able to press the digital crown and say, Hey Siri, call my wife. Works out really well.
And now she's calling.
Uh-oh. I should have said S lady. I should have learned more from Jeff Gamet.
False alarm.
I said Hey Siri out loud.
I was trying to. I was waiting to correct you. Please don't. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's been a while since you've been on a show. I can tell because you just said Hey lady, but didn't say lady.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So
hopefully you got your false alarm sorted out.
Yeah.
So
the thing that happens is that you spend some time trying to learn, but the learning process requires using the same techniques that you were using that failed. Mm-hmm. So in order to get started learning on voice control, you have to do some reading, you have to do some practicing, and all those require dexterity that themselves are difficult. So it's kind of a catch-22 situation. Mm-hmm. It just comes around very slowly.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work and it's a lot of practice.
Yeah, so
and, my principal complaint is that I wish iOS and iPadOS weren't so darn touchy-feely, and that there are so many different areas on the display that respond. You'd like it to be a little dumber. You'd like to have a few arrows and a scroll area, you know, and then have it not try to figure out so cleverly what you're trying to do. You just want to read a page.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So have you, I'm trying to figure out how to ask the question I'm trying to ask you. Have you gotten better at those sorts of controls as you've spent more time trying to use them?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So now, like, I know that you were absolutely off to a rough start, but how is it now as a day-to-day experience? Because I know, like I said, I know at the beginning it was rough. But now, is it better? Is it easier? Are you able to get around?
Every day, my right arm gets stronger and it's more flexible. And there are things I can do that I couldn't do before.
Okay.
It all started when I was able to transition from eating with my left hand to eating with my right hand.
Okay.
And that dexterity, that ability to move my arm around, the ability to touch accurately and have fine motor skills, mm-hmm. start to recover. Has gotten me to the point where I'm almost back to normal on the iPad Mini 5.
Great.
The first thing I did was bought a little inverted V-stand to set it up at the kitchen table so I could read. Push on the home button and the whole stand and the iPad would slide across the table because there wasn't enough back pressure friction on the stand.
Yep.
To overcome the pressure on the home button.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking about buying a Face ID iPad with no home button.
Okay. Yeah. Almost the best of both worlds there is the previously current, until a couple weeks ago, iPad Air that has Touch ID in the home button on the top. Because when you push on the edges of the iPad, it's a little less likely to tip over. So that seems like, for a lot of people, that might be a helpful idea because you still get Touch ID out of it, which is kind of nice in some situations. So let's catch up. Like, it's been a while. Did you find out about the, like, I know you've probably seen a headline or two about the event
that
we had. Are you in the market for anything new?
I was getting my COVID-19 first Pfizer shot that morning, so I had to watch it on a delayed basis.
Okay.
That was a pretty cool event. I'm vastly lusting for an iMac with an M1. They're so beautiful. They're so thin and fast.
Yeah. You know, I thought of you when they...
I'm going to have to figure out how to deal with the USB-C ports on the back because all my drives are USB-A.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to use some adapter plugs. Buy some new devices.
I have solutions for you.
Put a Thunderbolt dock on it.
Well, that's a solution, but I have some other options for you. We'll talk about it later. Thought of you when this came out because one thing that people started noticing was that the new iMacs have the headphone jack on the side. And somebody said, oh, that's so much better because I can actually reach it. I can see it to plug in and unplug my wired headphones. Like, if you need to use wired headphones, which there's still a lot of reason to have them, depending
what... The frame of the display is not thick enough to put the jack in.
And that's the other piece of it.
That's why the Ethernet cable goes into the power brick instead of... the back of the display.
That's the other part of it. So that was the thing that I thought, but that was the thing that made me think of you, was that it was a clever engineering thing that also happens to be sort of customer friendly. Like, here's the thing that makes it easier to plug the headphones into your iMac, but it's literally because it's not thick enough for us to put the jack in the other way. So I thought that was kind of funny. Let me ask you this. Did you get a better stand for your iPad so that you could press the home button?
No.
Okay.
I've got enough mobility in my right arm that I can place the iPad flat on the kitchen table.
Oh, okay.
And use the tabletop to provide back pressure and manipulate the iPad with my right hand.
Okay.
The way you normally would if you just laid it on the table.
Yeah. I kind of always have mine angled. I have, it's not an Apple case, but I have the case that folds in thirds so that it makes the little triangle at the back, and I'll either lay it on that and have it slightly propped up so I can see, or I'll flip it the other way so that the iPad is more upright, depending what it is I'm trying to do with it while it's on the counter. So that's it. So I was just wondering if you had found an interesting stand or not for that. So are you in the market for a new iMac? Because we did kind of talk a little earlier about like when the event happened, we all kind of talked about like what we were buying. So I'm curious if you're picking up anything.
Yeah, I think there's a iMac, a 24-inch in my future. Because my iMac now is getting old. It's at the end of the line. The last version of Mac OS, my current iMac, will run as Catalina.
Oh,
it's not rated for Big Sur. So I might as well kill two birds with one stone.
Okay.
And get a brand new iMac.
All right. Breaking some news here.
It's going to require me to get a little stronger so that I can start, moving around the office and manipulating things and plugging things in and so on. So not there yet.
Yeah, we'll get there. So that'll be, I look forward to your review. I think you might be the only one interested in the new iMac. I think there's some other M1s around the towers, but I think you might be the only one with an iMac, so I'm looking forward to that report. So let's talk a little bit about the other thing that you did while you were recovering, which is one of our favorite topics when you and I have a conversation. Always part of it turns into, what have you been watching?
Yeah, you would think I would be all over my Apple TV, but it turns out that my DirecTV remote, it has buttons, turned out to be infinitely easier to manipulate and to handle.
Okay.
It's bigger. It has more discrete buttons. So I spent more time on the DVR than I did on the Apple TV, just because the Apple TV remote, stupid as it is, it is hard to manipulate when you have nerve damage in your fingers.
Yeah.
And I think the new Apple remote, for the new Apple TV, 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, is it Apple TV 4K number 2 or Apple TV 4K number 1? Or is it just Apple TV 4K 2021? How are you guys referring to that second generation Apple TV 4K?
I think we're calling it Roger. I don't know. So, I don't know what the official nomenclature is. There's just the new 4K and then the 4K. And there's also a fourth gen, which is not 4K, which is the one that I have. So I look forward to your episode, your imminent episode of Media Plus with Charlotte, where the two of you just harsh on Apple for their stupid names. Because this is dear to her heart as well. So,
I don't want to jump over Apple, not necessarily, but just as a first pass, when you're laid up and recuperating, you're more interested in news and sports than you are in very serious drama.
Well,
and so some of the things on Apple TV Plus have not particularly appealed to me, except, of course, I wait for it, Dickinson season two.
I knew we'd get there. Now, I haven't finished season two, so don't tell me how it ends. But how did you feel it stacked up against season one? Because I got about halfway through season two, and when Charlotte and I talked about it, sort of our stance was that if you watched the first couple of episodes of the first season and it was absolutely not for you, season two wasn't going to change your mind at all. It is very much the same sensibility both times. Like, they didn't change a load of things and go through a big overhaul to make the second season of the show. It's very much a continuation of what we got in season one, which, if you like it, there's just more of the same there for you. If you did not like it, don't try giving season two another shot, because it's not going to do you any good.
One of the things I noticed about season two is it wasn't quite as erotic as season one. Mm-hmm. There were bits of season one that were over the top erotic.
Yeah.
They didn't continue that theme in season two, except for the last episode, which you haven't seen. So yeah. I won't spoil it for you. But
okay. Thank you.
You will enjoy the final episode of season two. I mean, it really right. gets it on.
I'll let you know.
The other thing I noticed is that there was a recurring theme with the Angel of Death in the carriage in season uh-huh. one. And I kept waiting for that and waiting for that in season two. They got around to it finally. But it was more of an afterthought in season two mm-hmm. than a feature.
Okay.
In season two, Emily spends a lot of time trying to get published.
Yeah.
She falls in with a newspaper publisher. And she's wrestling with the prospects of fame and how that will affect her.
Okay.
And so that's the overlaying theme in season two.
Okay. And so I think that's pretty much the only thing that you, because you had to seek that out on TV Plus to make sure you didn't miss it. So right.
Season two brought to mind a new definition of success.
Oh. So
success is when you become famous enough that you're famous, but your work doesn't get done, but you can still get your work done.
I like that definition. That's good.
If you're too successful and too famous, you can't get anything done.
You can't do anything anymore. Yeah. So no. Since it was easier to watch other things that were not on TV Plus, then what else were you watching and enjoying?
Well, right now I'm enjoying on PBS because mm-hmm. PBS is carrying it live. Death in Paradise season 10. For those who are not familiar with Death in Paradise, it is this glorious BBC production. It's been on for 10 years. And it's about a mythical island in the Caribbean, St. Marie, which is really, for the insiders, it's really Guadeloupe.
Okay.
And it's about a detective bureau that has always a brilliant detective inspector and his team that solve murder mysteries. And it's glorious. It's because of sun and sand and beaches and palm trees
and murder
and boats and murder. Right. And we're in our fourth detective. They killed off the first guy.
Oh, gosh.
Ben Miller, who played Detective Richard Poole, and brought in Chris Marshall as the second guy because you're away from Great Britain. You're in the hot weather for months at a time. And it's a difficult assignment. And so people have rotated through the series. Mm-hmm. And nobody who was on the original show is still with them. Danny John Jules played Officer Dwayne Myers. He lasted, I think, 7 or 8 years. But now they have a whole new team. And even some of the people who were on last season couldn't come back for reasons unexplained.
Okay.
Maybe it had to do with COVID.
Okay.
But gloriously, Josephine Joubert is back as Detective Sergeant Cassell. She's wonderful. And if you want to get away from it all, and you want to just relax and play along with a brilliant detective trying to solve a murder mystery with sun and beach and sand and great music and great photography, Death in Paradise is a wonderful show. You'll be hooked in an instant. And if you
that
haven't
sounds
seen
great.
Any of it all, you've got 10 years worth to catch up on. And I believe it's on Amazon Prime.
Most of it.
I don't think season 10 is yet available.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'll make sure and link to that when we see it. So that's going to do it for us today. But John, I would talk to you for a whole nother episode if I could, but I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. So I'm going to have you save some stuff so that we have more shows to talk about next time.
Sure, there's plenty to talk about.
So thank you, as always, for joining
us. It's great to be with you. It's great to be back and great to hear your voice and great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
So glad you're here. So John Martellaro is back with us today. Thank you again, John, for coming by to chat with me. It always makes me so happy when we get to do a show together. So maybe next time it'll be yours. We'll have to see. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.